Welcome to Get Over It, the Consciousness Transforming Podcast for Exceptional 21st Century Living. We've got a very powerful show today. We're going to be speaking with Dane Stevens, and he's going to be talking about his book, Reclaim Your Power to Create Your Best Life, How to Permanently Heal Unwanted Behaviors, Chronic Conditions, and Addictions. And you know, folks, in the energy that we're all swimming in right now, we need this. Okay, you do. And if you think you don't, yeah, you do. Just take a look inside, because none of us are perfect. We all have something that we're getting over, getting past, getting under. And he provides in this book very concise information that will help you truly heal your life. So listen, you know, take some notes. If you're truly interested, go get the book. And if you're even really willing to work on yourself, schedule some sessions with him. His work is clear. His work is valid. And you guys know I don't say that often on the show. No, not everybody gets that endorsement, if you will. But his book on my shelf is going to be a keeper. I am not sharing. Now, the information shared on Get Over It uses intuitive and pragmatic insight to help you shift your consciousness to break through blocks and release energy that is no longer needed. Yes, we're going to help you let go of the BS that is holding you back, but you guys know I always ask that question, are you truly ready to? And by the way, folks, BS is belief system. A bit about me for my new listeners, intuitive since birth. I'm a third-generation intuitive with over 3 decades of experience supporting people to break through the blocks along their path. I'm a strategist for personal and professional transformation, revealing cutting-edge information that enables you to prosper and thrive. I spent 25 successful years in corporate America as an executive sales professional, and I am the founder of Healing Visions Ministries and the Northern California Children's Education Network, a 501c3 nonprofit. I also authored 2 books. I provide consultations and healings in all areas of life that heal the mind-body-spirit connection, allowing you to live your very best life. Now, my clients tell me that I keep it real while providing them with accurate information to assist them along their journey as a spirit living a human existence. But they also say, if you really don't want to know, don't ask Monique. My background includes a doctorate in metaphysics, Reiki master teacher, ordained minister, and clinical hypnotherapist, so whether you are stressed, depressed, or possessed, I can help. To find out more about me and the services I offer, go to my website, NessMoniqueChapman.com, and I invite you to like me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. My guest today, Dane Stevens, is an author, speaker, and facilitator. He is the developer of the Neurotrauma Healing Process and the Soul Recognition Process, healing modalities that are developed out of sheer necessity as he had his nervous system seriously compromised by a well-meaning therapist who tried to force a childhood trauma out of him. It left him in a state of constant anxiety and turned his life into complete shambles, leaving him homeless, afraid, and out of control. It took 5 years to understand what had happened to him and another year to discover what would give him relief and give him his life back. And the results of that 5-year search, that journey, is Neurotrauma Healing Process. You can check him out at either one of his websites, DaneStevensOnline.com, that's DaneStevensOnline.com, or AnExtraordinaryLife.ca. Again, that's AnExtraordinaryLife.ca. Welcome, Dane.
Thank you, Monique. Great to be here.
Hey, it's great to have you on. You know, when I saw your book, it came across my desk for review. I'm like, yeah, okay, well, that's interesting. And I started reading it, and, you know, first time I just read it through. And then the second time I read it, started applying, because folks, you got to do the work, started applying some of your processes to see if it would work, you know. And I'm like, you know, if it does, great. If it doesn't, fine, you know, I'm just like being open because it's a book that I didn't necessarily go out to the bookstore and buy myself. And wow, what a difference, what a difference. So this neurotrauma healing, in the book you share a bit about, you know, this came out of necessity. So could you start from the beginning and tell us what happened to you and, you know, maybe a couple of the changes you went through trying to find that healing, and then how you finally developed this process.
Okay. So, yeah, I had no intention of becoming a trauma specialist. At the time, I was doing quite well in my life, actually. I had a successful coaching training business and great employees and making good money and living in a beautiful place off the ocean and doing some traveling, and life was good in all areas except for my relationships. And with my relationships, I would somehow destroy and sabotage the relationship and very prematurely and seek intimacy elsewhere. So that became such a clear pattern to me. I thought, oh, okay, I need to look at this. And that, because I asked that question, it made me wonder if I dealt with a childhood sexual abuse issue. And I, you know, underneath, I guess I really knew I hadn't. So in that, I went and did a bunch of groups, or some, tried a couple groups, and that didn't quite work for me. Didn't resonate, and did a few different types of counseling, talk therapy, gestalt, and even some EMDR, and so on. Nothing seemed to really get anywhere. And then I was referred to a therapist/healer. She came highly recommended, and she wasn't cheap, but I was making good money, so not a big deal. I went and saw her, and a number of sessions in, she told me I had a circ, which is basically blocked energy circ, she said, in my lower chakra region and lower part of my torso, and asked me if I'd like to go for a home run, she called it. And a home run always sounds like a wonderful thing. She failed to say I could hit a foul ball. And at that point, I knew nothing of trauma and very little about energy at that time. So I unwittingly and unknowingly said, sure, let's do that. And she proceeded to try to force the trauma out of me. And like I say, if I had any idea what we were dealing with, what that was all about, I would have probably said no. So maybe good thing, bad thing. So to continue the story, it was a number of sessions later where that circ that she said to talk about did break, and I got off the table scared. She did some different body work. I don't know exactly what she did on me. Actually, she had me twisted in different positions and telling me to go there. And I remember still vividly to this day that day where she had me twist on the table and tell me to go there. And I was so out in the ozone that I literally couldn't tell which way was up. And I came off that table scared. For no apparent reason. I had jittery platelets, and I had just had this fearful, unstable energy running in me. And I assumed that it would subside, that it would just go away. So I left her office at that point and sort of carried on about my day and so on. And that energy did not subside. And this revving of my nervous system continued, this instability, this fearful energy kept going on inside of me. And it wreaked havoc in my life, of course. And I kept seeing her, but nothing changed from that. That was opened up, basically. And, the inside, excuse me, being the creator of the outside, this instability, this fearful energy did wreak havoc in my life as my whole world started to crumble around me. This instability inside of me, this fear inside of me started to, echo on the outside of me, and I lost everything. And within 18 months, I was broke. And she stopped seeing me because I ran out of money. But, I had lost clients and contracts, lost the sale of a business, and that time, everything. It's just like there was a vacuum turned on in my life. Mm-hmm. And so she stopped seeing me because I ran out of money, but also, I believe, because she didn't know how to fix what she did. And I remember, literally yelling to her on the phone, "You can't leave me like this." But the damage was done. So that's how I was basically left hanging out there, not knowing what to do. And I had to go on a mad search to try and find out what happened to me and how to get my life back. And it took me 5 years to find somebody who could tell me what happened to me. Ironically enough, it was Hazel Carver, who's a wonderful trauma specialist, and she had the same thing happen to her. She had a therapist try to force a trauma on her, and it messed her up. So apparently that's how we're made. And so it gave me great hope meeting Hazel, because she understood what happened to me, and she was a trauma specialist who was a student of Peter Levine. She also did Bert Hellinger's stuff and Bessel van der Kolk, so she had some real knowledge and awareness of trauma. And so I learned about trauma, I learned about the nervous system, but I never got relief from doing that work. I got, you know, relief and understanding that it was possible for me to heal from this, and hope from Hazel, no question. But it wasn't until I stumbled across the John Bradshaw work, the left-right brain work, that I made a connection to that fearful part in me. And when I made the connection, I knew, and it was just, it was a, you know, I say a jubilant moment that I made this connection to this scared, fearful part in me. But I tried to do the work on my own, this left-right brain work, and I couldn't get this part to feel safe enough to unfreeze. I couldn't bring this part out of that fearful loop of the experience that was happening inside of me. And it was like an 8-month fight with myself. So I still, you know, even though I made this connection, I couldn't bring it to resolution or into peace. So there I looked for somebody who understood this work or did this work, and I couldn't find anybody. I scoured the internet and phoned anybody, counselors, therapists, who I thought, you know, might know about it or might do it, and nobody would. I tried to even talk them into it, and nobody would do it. So, yeah. And a few months later, after months of searching, you know, for this person to help me with this too, I found somebody literally across the street from me who had done this work and was willing to work with me. And I worked with Mary, who was very generous with her time, for like 2 months, and within that 2 months I was able to gain traction. And traction in my terminology is having a consistently healthy and positive relationship with the life within you. And I had that within 2 months and was able to take the work over on my own. And that's where this work, the process I teach now, literally just poured out of me. And it's not new. The left-right brain stuff isn't new. It's just that nobody has developed it. It's never been created into a usable modality, which kind of blows me away. Because as you probably experienced, it's effective. It's simple. It's effective. It shows us how we work. And it gives us access to these parts that are disconnected from our authentic, our higher self, I'll say. So that's the long story of how it all got created, Monique. Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, folks, I got to tell you that when you read Dane's book, it's not scientific-y reading. It's not even metaphysical New Age reading. You know, this is something that anyone who has a desire to improve themselves can read and digest without all of those other energies, you know, floating around. So, you know, you don't have to be a certain religion or a certain spiritual path or whatever. This is available for everybody, and he breaks it down to bare bones. So, Dane, let me ask you the question. Reclaim your power to create your best life. If someone followed this cover to cover over a period of time, would they be able to get relief from just reading the book, or would they have to, in addition, contact you?
Well, I have to say that it was a challenge for me to put the book out, because especially with what happened to me, safety and you know, is paramount, and ease is paramount about making this effective, but also make it safe. That's the whole idea, and it was for me. So, but to put the book out, it gives you direct access to your subconscious mind in a safe and gentle manner. But I don't want people to get to a place where they don't know what to do, or they don't know where to go, or they feel emotional and don't have the support they need. Mm-hmm. And I want them to get the full effect. So I suggest, I highly suggest working with a facilitator first. We don't work with our clients for long, but we want to make sure they get on the right track. And as I experienced, I tried to do the work on my own, and it was like a fight with myself. We know ourselves too well. We take things for granted because we know ourselves better, you know, so well. And sometimes we're not able to show up for ourselves, not able to give ourselves what we need. So working with a facilitator, a trained NTHP facilitator, mm-hmm. it, you know, this person has done their work and they can help you through the maze of the subconscious mind as well. So if you do the work on your own, it's possible. You definitely could get full healing. And that's why I put it out. So I can't keep it a secret kind of thing. But if you work with a facilitator, for sure you will make that safe and effective connection and get healing. So everything is in there, and it was a challenge, but I couldn't keep it a secret. So it's there for people to check out. If you need help, give us a call. And it's also for therapists and counselors. I highly suggest you get trained in this. It'll be an ultimate tool in your toolbox, and it will actually bring people to resolution, not just a coping skill or trying to compensate for, but actually resolve it for good and not have to keep dealing with it.
Yeah, the same subject 40 years in a row. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Dane, tell
us. Time to get off the treadmill.
Yes. Yeah. You look at that, the hamster, going on the hamster wheel. That was a big thing when I was little. Had a couple of hamsters.
And, and I just really feel for, especially a trauma, of course, but something like addiction. You feel, people feel so helpless because they just haven't, first of all, known how to do their inner work and haven't known or had access to that which is causing the very cause of their dysfunction, of their addiction. So, I'm very passionate about getting word out there about this,
Okay, so exactly what is neurotrauma healing?
So the neurotrauma healing process, the foundation of it, but this is just the foundation, but it's a left-right brain process I'll talk a little bit about how trauma works now, Monique, so people have an understanding of this.
Yep.
So how we process information and therefore how a trauma has occurred is things come in through the right brain. The raw data of an experience comes in through the right brain. The right brain is about formless, color, sound, imagination, fantasy. It's that formless side. And things come into that right brain and they're experienced and then passed to the left brain to be understood, to be made sense of, and to be filed. So if the information that comes from that right brain is too outrageous, too scary, too bizarre, doesn't make sense to us, then that left brain will reject it and send it back to the right brain. What does the right brain do? The right brain does what the right brain does. Sees it, feels it, experiences it in its entirety, and sends it to the left brain to be made sense of, filed, understood. If it's still too much, still too overwhelming, that left brain rejects it again. It gets sent back to the right brain, and the cycle has begun. And that looping in your nervous system is called a trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the brain's MO is survival. So it doesn't want this barrage of unwanted, potentially dangerous information cycling, in its way, getting in its way. So it pushes it out of the way, hence to the subconscious. Is it gone? Is it out of the way? Not at all. It's still looping in your nervous system, trying to process itself, stuck somewhere, trapped somewhere in your body. And that trauma is looping, trying to process itself, and it will outpicture itself in your life, whether it be in your health, your wealth, your relationships, your career, or just, either depression or anxiety, what have you. But it will outpicture itself as some chronic condition, negative pattern in your life. And that's where, you will know that you have something looping your nervous system if there's something going on in your life that you have not been able to deal with, overcome, or heal. So that's how trauma, and what we do with the NTHP is we kind of unwind that. We deal with the left-right brain, left-right brain, to unwind that in a safe and gentle manner where you can actually make an intimate connection to the part of you that experienced this trauma. And I guess I get to go a little bit deeper into trauma to explain this too. And two things happen when we experience trauma. One is time stops. And when I say time stops is if we had a trauma at age 6, and we couldn't, it never got processed because of that young, undeveloped mind, it keeps cycling in our nervous system at that age. And we've probably all seen somebody, an adult, maybe even a prominent adult, who gets their buttons pushed and all of a sudden they act like they're a child. And I'm not going to get into details now about what person we could talk about.
Really, we don't want to talk about Donnie.
I didn't say it. There you go. And maybe that's exactly right. You know, that the synapses fires in your brain, and you're 6 years old again, and mm-hmm. and you feel helpless and hopeless because it just the synapses fires, and you're back to that time. So the first thing is time stops. And the second one is we split off, and that's where the MO of the brain is, to push it to the subconscious. So we have this event looping in our nervous system, in our bodies, trapped at that age. So that's where, when we unwind this, we actually give you intimate connection to that part, that age, that time. And what happens then is you're actually able to give that part what it didn't get at that time, or what you're not giving yourself now. So, you know, whether it be safety, whether it be attention, appreciation, love, you know, whatever that is. And the irony, the complete irony of this is, when you give that inner part what it needs, it will unfreeze. It will, you know, that trauma will cease happening and gets brought into this present moment, where it's not happening anymore. And, you know, the taking it a little further, when we are able to give ourselves the respect or the love or the attention, whatever it is, then that's what shows up outside of us in our physical world. It shows us how powerful we are. It shows us that we are creative beings. So it's profound.
Okay. Folks, we're speaking with Dane Stevens, and we're talking about his book, Reclaim Your Power to Create Your Best Life, How to Permanently Heal Unwanted Behaviors, Chronic Conditions, and Addictions. And you know, folks, we all know somebody in our life who's addicted to something. Okay. We're all addicted to something. It could be something as simple as being lazy, addicted to being lazy. And, you know, I was talking to my clinician a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying how people are manifesting these chronic conditions, like out of nowhere, it seems. These are his words. Yeah. And it's so prevalent now, you know. Say if he sees 40 patients a day, 35 of the 40 have developed chronic conditions. So this is something that it's imperative that we get a hold of. We don't have to. I started to say have to. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. But it's imperative if you want a better life to get a hold of this. So in working with your process, Dane, does it help to calm the nervous system? Does it help?
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, so many people are experiencing nervous systems, or at least what allopathic medicine is calling nervous system conditions. So we can actually go from a heightened state down to almost zero or even zero?
Yeah. Back to your nature, which is peaceful. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so, you know, if I could just touch upon what you said previously, too,
sure.
Because it's relevant. And first of all, to talk about trauma, or when we talk about trauma, so many people think of it as some huge physical, emotional experience or event that happened. Like, you know, a car crash or the experiencing war, or, you know, being abused in some huge physical or emotional way. And those are all traumas, there's no question. But they're big T traumas. You know you're traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the little T trauma. The little T trauma is where they're not so obvious. Something like neglect, where it feels like, you know, nothing happened, and that's exactly right. But if we, as a child, experience neglect, didn't get attention, we made a decision about ourselves, and our natural outpouring of energy was altered, skewed, because of how we were brought up, or how we were not paid attention to, or what have you. We were neglected. So, you know, living with a high-functioning alcoholic is another example. We might not even know we're on the receiving end of abuse, But alcoholism itself is self-abuse. So to if we were living a high-functioning alcoholic, we definitely experienced that and once again made a decision about ourselves or had to alter our behavior in some way because of this, and our natural expression was skewed, which we experience a trauma. So or even somebody close to us passing, and they may have even died of natural causes, but if we didn't understand it at the time, or maybe that person wasn't replaced in our life, we had to, once again, alter our energy, and a trauma was formed. So the reason I say this is because you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that doesn't have some degree of what's termed trauma looping within them. And like your clinician, he's seeing so many people. But I just want to touch upon the fact that maybe, just maybe, and people are going to want to punch me when I say this, that maybe these things are happening on purpose. Because when you look at trauma, it's going to keep looping, keep looping, keep looping in your nervous system. And as long as we keep looking outside of ourselves for the answer, for healing, whether it be somebody else, something else, some medication else, it's going to keep happening. Well, you know, unfortunately, we can numb ourselves out, and we really hope that doesn't happen. But as long as we keep going outside, the answer and the healing isn't out there. All these things, all these chronic conditions are really pushing us inside. And when we learn to go inside, that's the place that we actually have full healing, full resolution. So I just wanted to touch upon that these events happening in your life, you know, are happening for a reason. They're happening for you to connect with a life within you and you know, bring it into healing and connect, you know, come back to your nature. And in this time, my goodness, everybody is experiencing so much anxiety and trauma and yes, these chronic conditions. And I swear this is a part of our evolution, and this is life, the universe, trying to get us to go inside.
So I think coronavirus is trying to get us to go inside. You know,
it forced us, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it shut down the world, and people, you know, are still like, no, I got to have my rights and do what I want, you know, and it's like, well, no, you know, the universe is kind of sending a signal here, you know, and, you know,
isn't
the more you ignore this.
Extremely
fascinating, you know. I mean, here, I live in Northern California, and I sit here in my home office because I don't go to my other office because of COVID, and I watch people go by, no masks, no social distancing, you know, doing everything that they say would help this go away quicker so we can get back to doing all of those things, you know. And it's just amazing that people decide, or the decisions they make, I guess. It's really quite...
I feel it's just a... I don't believe the coronavirus is a threat to most of us, but there is people that have compromised immune systems, and there's the medical system that gets overwhelmed when it gets flooded with, and like you say, it just seems kind of selfish. It's not about us. Speak specifically about the virus. Yeah, about all of us. That's exactly right.
It's crazy. Now, in your book, you talk about, and this really caught my attention because, you know, whenever I call my clinician, he thinks I want some type of pill, and he knows I'm anti-pill, but he'll say, "Oh, take this," and I'm like, "No." But in your book, you talk about you can't heal what you can't feel regarding taking medication. So talk to us about that, because so many people have decided that with Valium, lorazepam, Xanax, whatever is the way to go.
And you know what they have done with medications is no less than fascinating, scary as hell, and fascinating, and because it literally masks what's going on inside of you. And I understand for some people, for a short term, if you're a threat to yourself or somebody else, then, you know, do this for a short term. But I don't believe there's ever, you know, very few times is this a lifetime, you know, meds for life program. That's just, and I'm fascinated at how many people are on medications. It is not a cure. It is simply blocking what's going on inside of you. It is deadening you in a sense. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, like I say, it's fascinating they have, you know, be able to do that so specifically. Holy cow. But no, it's not a cure. And like you said, Monique, if you can't feel it, you can't heal it. And that's when something is up, it's up for healing. And that's why I talk about this time where everybody's so fearful and all this stuff is up. What I have learned is if it's not inside of you, then there's nothing to come out. When you are connected to Source, call it higher power, higher consciousness, the universe, call it what you will, call it God, call it what you will, uh-huh. Allah, Buddha. When you're connected to that, there's no fear there. When you're connected to that, that is a stream of well-being that continues to flow in you. And when you do this work, the irony of doing this work is when you heal these parts that have split off, that have a belief in separation, that have split off these traumas and these fears, anger, what are they, whatever they are, when you heal them, what happens is space is opened up in you because these are things that have been looping in your nervous system, taking up space in your mind, whether it be consciously or unconsciously. So when you heal them, space gets created in you. That space is filled with your nature. It's uh-huh. filled with peace, with power, with creativity, with abundance, with expression, with generosity. These things, that with health, these are our nature. And when I say our nature, I'm saying that we don't have to work at them. That is what we are. That is our hard wiring. And the things that are in the way of our nature are these negative or false beliefs, these erroneous beliefs and you know, traumatic experiences that have formed beliefs in separation. So when we heal them and bring them back into this present moment where it's not happening anymore, uh-huh. our nature literally, naturally, and automatically rises. And I have the second book coming out, which is called Unleash Your Genius, and it introduces a soul recognition process, which is just a continuation from the first and your trauma healing process. It's just a continuation of the work because it leads into empowerment and about learning how to feed ourselves and letting ourselves out. And because the journey we are on is not about working harder, about working more. It's about letting ourselves out. It's about letting our nature come forth, which is easy. It's the easiest thing in the world because it's our nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, in your book, you talk about the process and how it works, and there's three components, I guess you would say, the snapshot, the compassionate letter, and connection and relationship. So I'm not giving away the store, so I just want to focus on the, on the letter part, because for years I have been telling folks I work with when they're experiencing something horrible, especially women who can't let go of a guy who's been horrible right. to them, is to write him a letter yeah. that he'll never see, put all the emotions, da-da-da-da. Then I tell them to tear it up, confetti-sized pieces of paper, to burn it up, take the ashes, and if it's something you want to get rid of and you don't want back in your life, to flush it down the toilet. But before you flush, you might pee or poo. Your choice. Well, you don't want it back, right? I don't know about you, but when I put poo down there, I don't want it back. Like, thank God you're gone. Okay, thank God. So why don't you talk to us about your compassionate letter and how people can at least start, you know, and I know there's other work to do, but share that with them because yeah. that's something that yeah. people can easily wrap their minds around to do.
Yeah, yeah. So how we access the subconscious mind is through emotion. And that's where, you know, when you feel it, it's there and it's up for healing. So we do that. And the compassionate letter is being able to show up for yourself and it's the start of the relationships. It's the start of being able to give yourself what you either didn't get at that time or you're not giving yourself now. And the key to this work is inner compassionate connection. It is a relationship. I don't know of any work that I say that is as fast, and that's not the right word, but the only reason I say that is because it actually brings it to resolution. You don't have to keep dealing with it. But I want to be clear, it's not a quick fix. It's a relationship. And every relationship takes time and effort. And, you know, the key about this relationship is is that it's the key to all the rest of your relationships. It's the foundation of all your other relationships and your relationship with life, with the world. Mm-hmm. So it's important. It's key. So the compassionate letter allows us to show ourselves compassion for what happened. And a lot of times, especially with males, males have a lot of trouble showing themselves compassion. So this is not trying to change what happened or that part of you, not trying to pull them out or anything. It's about creating inner compassionate connections, about alignment with them and making them feel safe. And safety is the key to unfreezing. What we're doing in the start is we're creating a level of trust that allows this part to want to unfreeze, that allows this traumatized experience or this scared part of us or a part that has an erroneous belief. It allows them to unfreeze and come into this present moment. So the compassionate letter is the start of that. And as when males have trouble showing up for themselves and showing themselves compassion, females tend to help everybody else at the detriment of themselves.
Uh-huh.
So here's a time with this compassion letter that this is for you. You are showing up for you. And if you can't help yourself, you can't help anybody else.
Nobody
if you're
else.
Not whole within yourself, uh-huh. you can't, you know, help anybody else come into wholeness either. So, doing our work is key, and that is the start, is that connection, that inner life, in a compassionate way, inner compassionate connection. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, definitely answers. That definitely answers the question. And folks, you know, RuPaul always says, and I think I have to paraphrase because I don't know if I have it exactly, but if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love someone else? You know, so it all comes back to self-love.
You know, mathematical that way, isn't it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, so many of us have difficulty loving ourselves. So be able to stand in front of a full-length mirror and look at all of you and be grateful and joyous for whatever you see. And if there's something you want to change, of course, you can, you know, start to make adjustments. But, you know, start with that love of self first. Now, Dane, in your book, chapter Building a Healthy Relationship, I think it's actually a subtitle, you say, do not give your inner self advice or tell him or her that they're fine. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, and that's a bit of a fine line, but especially in the start, the way we have learned or done healing for the most part, or speaking for myself anyway, it was about trying to affect myself. It's about trying to change my behavior. It's about trying to change myself. And so I'm going to talk about this self-love now, because self-love is such a misunderstood term. And like you say, it's great to stand in the mirror and love yourself. It's great to go for massages and pedicures and so on. That's wonderful. It's great. But in order to truly love yourself, you have to get to know yourself.
Uh-huh.
And in that, it's about listening, and it's about getting this part to speak. And Dr. John Bradshaw has this wonderful saying that says, the wounded child becomes the wonder child, and that is exactly right. And as we start to listen and let this part speak, we start to understand why we created what we created or why we have in our life. And why we don't have what we say we want in our life. We start to understand how we've been operating, how we've been working, because this work really does show us how we have been creating our life. So it's a big part about it is accepting yourself. And when we have a belief or something that comes up from this inner life and we don't like it, if we want to just change it, it's kind of going against ourself, going against this part, making this, if it's a child wrong, or making this part of us wrong or bad, which could just create more conflict within us. So it's about aligning within us. And it's not about telling this part how to be, not about trying to change this part. It's about getting to know this part and allowing this part out, because that wounded part of us does become the wonder part of us. If we keep going in this way, if we keep listening to this part and giving this part what it wants and needs, And sometimes people have, you know, issue with that. Well, it's going to want millions of dollars. It's going to want a yacht. And no, it wants you. Uh-huh. It wants the truth of your being. So, you know, in every time we connect with this inner part, we ask what they want, wants and needs, and our job is to give it to them. It might be a nap. It might be to work less. It might be a bubble bath. It might be a walk in nature. But whatever it is, I can guarantee you it's going to feel good in your soul because it's from you. And as you keep feeding this part, it comes more and more into this present moment, and it becomes very wise. And we start to get incredible information and guidance and wisdom from this inner life. And it's just a matter of healing the erroneous belief that has been put on top of the truth of us, on the top of our nature. So when we uncover that, there is amazing wisdom and guidance. And it's from allowance. It's not from doing or forcing or trying. It's from allowing this, our higher consciousness, our higher self, to come forth. And so it's not about giving information, and it's not about coming from our head, from the thinking mind. The thinking mind is so secondary, and we will learn that. You'll learn that in this work. Mm-hmm. It's about listening and letting this life come out. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. And two more little subtopics before I let you go, and you can take them in any order you want. One is forgiveness, and the other one is boundaries, the importance of both of those concepts.
Yeah, and forgiveness is another word that's a little misunderstood. I'll say, well, very, very misunderstood, maybe. And when to forgive is to give the energy back to that time. And yes, we have to want to forgive, and have to make the decision to forgive. But if we simply do it from the neck up, if we still have a wounded, angry, scared, whatever, screaming part within us, we haven't forgiven. So when we do our inner work and we give that part what it needs, what it didn't get at that time, whether it be safety, whether it be attention, whether it be recognition, whatever it is, whatever we didn't get from that person at that time, all of a sudden it's not there anymore. And it might be a place where if we saw that person again or like now, we'd be triggered. But when we learn that we are our source, that we can feed ourselves, that we can give ourselves what we need to feel good, to feel safe, to feel loved, whatever that is, mm-hmm. all of a sudden there's no energy back there anymore. The energy isn't that energy from our past isn't running us. We have given ourselves what we have needed. We have healed from that past. We have given the energy back to that time. We have forgiven. And it's got very little to do with the other person, which, you know, a lot of us know that already anyway. Mm-hmm. But when we understand that it's up to us to give ourselves what we need, and that's where that energy gets to go back to where it belongs, back to that time, and no longer triggers us, you know, that's when we have truly forgiven, when there's nothing there to forgive anymore, nothing, no energy that's running us. So there's okay. forgiveness.
Okay, yeah. And boundaries.
And, you know, with boundaries, that's another thing. It's a huge thing, especially in families, you know, to set boundaries with families because we have a family dynamic that we've been brought up in, and we have been taught our place, whether we are aware of it or not. We've been taught our role in our family dynamic. So sometimes setting boundaries can be very, very tough. Mm-hmm. But when we, once again, do our inner work, and listen to this part and give this inner life what it wants and needs, all of a sudden we will just set boundaries without animosity, without making anybody bad or wrong. And it's a joy when we work with people and they come back and they say, it just happens. We don't have to try and go out there and forcefully set a boundary when we do our inner work. And it's always a joy when people come back and they say, I just said no, and it felt fine, and nothing happened, or I just walked away, or I just didn't do it. And we just naturally set boundaries because we naturally respect ourselves. And when we experience traumas and we get ideologies forced upon us that are not a part of our nature, and we believe them. You know, so most time I'm speaking as a child from the programming we get as a child. Mm-hmm. But when we do that, it throws our compass off. We're out of tune with our natural compass. What is good and right to us? So when we do this work with people, it's fantastic work because we literally are just getting them back into alignment with the truth about them, what they either didn't know that they know or in their heart of hearts know about themselves and know about life. We literally teach them, you know, not teach them, we help them to learn how to love themselves. And that is how to get to know themselves, how to let themselves out, and therefore be who they are. And boundaries naturally get set. So it's, I use the word profound a lot, Monique. Does that make sense? I can't hear you.
That makes complete sense. My headphone had switched off. Don't know why, but It makes complete sense. But before you go, I want to talk about your websites. No, one is DaneStevensOnline.com. And I called this one, and this is just my take on it, folks, not what his is, my take. I call this your layperson user-friendly website because it gives a wealth of information. What can we find there, Dane?
So we have a newsletter which has continual different videos and information about the work. You can connect with me and any questions you have. There's a part there to ask questions. We have a free resources center, which is guided meditations there and information and videos and so on there. I think there's a testimonials, a bunch of testimonials from different people that have worked with us and the results they've gotten. You can buy the book there. You can check out any events, whatever upcoming events are coming on, you can check there. So, yeah, it's just any information you need, you should be able to get there.
Okay, and also he has a coaching program on there, so check it out. If you've liked what you've heard today and it's resonated with you, do check it out. And on his website, extraordinarylife.ca, I call this more of the professional site for professionals. Like if you're a therapist already or you're someone who's very interested in this work because you've been touched by his wonderful interview today and you want to learn more, go here and find out more. What else would you like to say about an extraordinary life.ca, Dane?
Yeah, I think, you know, what you said, and thank you for your feedback. I really appreciate your interview and your knowledge, so it's great, and I appreciate your feedback about the website. And, there's different, for one-on-one, if you want to do packages, there's different packages on there, and a little bit more in-depth about NTHP on that site. And if there's any therapist counselors out there, by all means, get trained in this and you'll start to get phenomenal results with people dealing with stuff they've been dealing with for a very long time.
Yes.
So, and on that site, there's also information about certification too. So a little more in depth about the NTHP on that site. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you for, Dane, you being you, thank you for the experience that you went through way back when, because it brought you to who you are today. And I'll share this with the audience that I shared with you initially. He truly walks his talk, folks. I have a process that people have to go through to be on the show, and he responded immediately with it. Okay. When he came on the phone today, I didn't have to tell him to be up and peppy and have happiness in his voice, because that's how he answered the phone. And I work with all kinds of people. You guys, you know, listen to me forever. He walks his talk. Okay, his work is valid. So if you're truly looking to shift your energy to kind of let go of things that need to be, you know, gone, and you're willing to do the work, and that's the key phrase, do the work, this work by Dane Stevens will help you. So Dane, thanks so much for being my guest today. I greatly appreciate it.
Pleasure, Monique. You're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
And I just want to add that the work does turn into play, just so they know.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that, when we work on ourselves, it's play in a way, no matter what,
yeah.
you know, even when we're
yeah.
in
yeah.
the depths of the tears that come up, because we're releasing yeah. and we get to joy and have fun.
Yep. And that's with the soul. That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, yeah. yes. And to the audience, thank you for joining us today as we collectively get over it. And please remember that the most important choice that you can make is what you choose to make important. Consider making the masterful choice of reclaiming your power. Abundant blessings, light, and love to all. Agape.